This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Guys, 610 to talk about on the radio.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Presented by Mokarem Injury Lawyers.
Yeah, it is. Mokarem Injury Lawyers. Hard as hell to say. Easy to dial. 281-222-2222. If you or any of your loved ones been injured in an accident, call my guys. No doubt about it. Mokarem Injury Lawyers.
We keep a 100.
Yeah, they do. Always. Known them for a while. Spend a lot of time with them, no doubt about it. If you're out and about, it is Friday. You got plenty of reason, if you're a Texans fan, for damn sure to get excited about today. Hey, don't let your Thursday ruin your Friday. Now,
I'm
understand.
So excited!
I totally understand. We're gonna hear from Nick Caserio here shortly, but I understand trading out of the first round wasn't ideal. But we got a boatload of picks today on day two. Whether they use those picks or if Nick uses them to move and shake. It's a win here. Let's see if they can add to this playoff roster and maybe get us good and excited about the additional pieces. If you're out there and you're listening, we greatly appreciate it on the AM/FM dial. Is wonderful. If you're listening or watching on YouTube and Twitch, we greatly appreciate that as well. Sorry, you're gonna see Tyler's nipples every now and then, but we greatly appreciate it.
All right.
There you go. He probably just showed them to you. If I can see him,
damn right.
There you go, baby. Get them dimes out there. Get them dime sizes out there.
They are little, man.
But if not, I want to encourage everybody out there to download the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download the Odyssey app. Keep us on your hip. Take us everywhere you go. You never know when we're going to be giving something away. You can also catch all of our podcasts and everything. The Big Orange Wagon that my man T. Mill and Patrick Creighton put out. All things Astros. That they do it right now. So you might want to plug into that right there. Again, there you go. I don't know what that was. That Utah or was that a drop?
That's Patrick.
There you go. AUDACY. Download that app if you don't mind. We greatly appreciate it. All right, Tyler. Let's the Texans. They had a nice little draft party going last night. Got everybody good and worked up. Kept me up late, and I had to inform my wife this morning that all that and the Texans traded out of the first round. But nonetheless. Let's see what Nick Caserio. How does Nick Caserio feel about the current situation with the Texans with all the draft picks today?
I don't want to say we talked to the whole league, but we probably talked to the whole league on every different level. So, you know, there are some players that we identified, some were out of reach. You know, some, you know, any end trades are a byproduct of teams willing to make a decision to move or not. So, you know, we fell at 25. You know, that was the best thing for us. Puts us in a pretty good spot. 2 2s, 3 3s, picked up another 3 next year. So, I mean, we'll deal with tomorrow. We think we're going to get some pretty good football players tomorrow. We felt like the value to draft was basically in the middle. So we'll try to take advantage of our opportunities here tomorrow. Put ourselves in a pretty good position next year as well. 1 2 2s, 2 3s, 2 4s. So, I mean, we've always talked about just creating as much flexibility and optionality for us as possible. And that's where we are. So, I mean, there's 2 more days of the draft that are left. We'll see how these next few days go. I'll try to, you know, make good, smart decisions tomorrow. Trust our process, trust our evaluations. And then once we get through the draft, kind of flip the page and kind of go to the next phase. So we're going to get good football players. D'Amico and I feel really good about tomorrow. So, you know, we'll kind of see what happens.
As do I, Nick. But Nick makes me feel better right there because he's made the same mistake that I made. They got 3 second-round picks today, not two. There's three second-round picks and three third-round picks today.
So thanks, him guys. Make, appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, Nick. You actually make me feel better about the mistake I made last night on Twitter when I said, man, two twos and three threes, you're going to feel good about it. But when I got my head bit off, Twitterly, I got my head bit off by not three. It's three twos. I said, okay, damn, I'm sorry. So, Nick, you made the same mistake.
Is it three twos?
I'm pretty sure it is. One at the top and two at the bottom, isn't it?
The way that I have it is they have pick 34, pick 58, and then they have three third round picks: pick 7, pick 89, pick 99.
Man, we got to figure this out.
That's what I have.
I'll get to the bottom of it while Nick's telling you about this. When did he know that he was going to trade out of the first round in this draft?
Yeah, I don't think there was really a consensus on a lot of grades. I mean, honest to God, if you look at some of these mocks, like where some of the guys were mocked and where they went, it wasn't even close. So, which again, like players come off the board when they come off the board. So it's all we can do is go through our information, try to figure out like where we think the best spot for us to take that player. So again, we made multiple calls, I would say, picking a lot higher than where we were. So teams aren't interested. They're not interested. Nothing we can do about it.
Correction, it is. There's two twos and three threes right now. Five picks. We've been saying five picks all day. I haven't been wrong all day.
No, you've been saying five picks total. Five picks, two twos and three threes.
I guess the extra two is next year. I'm trying to throw into this year. But you got five picks. You got plenty of moving and shaking. So Nick was right. Damn, Nick, you make me feel stupid from the get go. But the trade back. Obviously, they had Ron hearing it from the Nick Caserio. They had their sights set on a few guys. Those guys didn't fall, so they didn't reach. So they moved out. I agree for once with Nick Caserio in a sense of the call it flexibility, I guess, whatever terms he used in a sense of if you're not going to pick at 25, trade back and give yourself as many options that may present themselves through the draft this year. Bottom line is I think this is a day, again, I thought day one would be it, but this is a day where they've got plenty more draft capital than they had yesterday and more reason to get aggressive and move. It takes two to tango, as we mentioned earlier. He's going to have to find trade partners to move up, but he's got enough draft capital where, boy, he can make it really hard for a team to say no.
Yeah, and get exactly what it is he needs and what he wants.
Yeah.
And look, Clint, quite frankly, it was the same deal in the first round. Like, they have so much ammunition with the Tunzel trade, with you know, picks they've had before. Over, they've got so much ammunition that they could do anything that they wanted to do. It is not anything that stopped. Now, maybe whatever they wanted to do wasn't the smart thing, but they had the ability to do whatever it is they want to do, and it's even more today.
Well, I'm excited about the trade back. I don't think I'd ever hear myself say that, but I'm actually excited about the trade back. The one thing that the Texans couldn't do was reach for a player and miss on a player again, because this is plug and play time for the Texans. I think you can still find multiple plug and play guys in this second round and or third round. I think there's some really good players out there.
Was there? I know. Once you got to the point of, all right, they're sitting there at 25.
Yeah.
Right, and I think the previous two picks were Matthew Golden, the wide receiver of Texas, and then Donovan
Jackson.
Yes, the guard from Ohio State. Those two go. Once you sit there, I know you're at the point of like, all right, don't reach. All right, the Giants are coming up for a deal. You make a deal, you get back, and you get more picks. But at 25, though, as it was leading up to that, were there any moments or any players where you were like, damn, like, come on, there he is, go get him, like, there, like, go get this guy, or this dude would be the fit? At any moment were you thinking like, damn, I wish they would go up to go get a certain player?
I thought they would move a couple of spots to jump Green Bay to get into the Matthew Golden range. Yeah, for whatever reason, he's obviously a great player. I think with Tank Dell having played with him before, they know him intimately. He's a local kid. They have shown interest in local guys, and that's been a part of kind of the guys they bring back and make the fabric of the city and the team. So I thought that there was a chance they could do that. Once I saw the guards come off the board, I was like, man, this is not good. Please don't reach. And then I shifted immediately to wide receiver. And then Golden jumps off, and it's at that point, that's when I'm cool with.
Would you been all right with the guard from Ohio State that went right ahead of him? Like, what would, like?
Well, I would have been okay with him just based on what we saw. But yeah. I mean, I don't. I mean, I, he's the one. He's one of them, right? That the Texans maybe were linked to, but they weren't completely sold on him being their kind of guy.
Him and the kid from North Dakota State. Those were the last two that they went off at 18 and 24.
Well, again, I just in listening, again, I'm basing it what the Texans were linked to. I'm basing it on kind of how strongly they were linked to him. And if you listen to Saban and company when they were analyzing it, you listen to their studies, what their studies have told them. Afterwards, I understood immediately why the Texans weren't – he wasn't on, let's say, the top of the guard board for the Texans. So I would rather them not reach right there, so I was cool with that. But you look at the Texans. The Texans were at 25, right? For everybody that's disappointed with the Texans at 25, look at who was drafted beyond 25, right? Jackson Dart went in New York, traded with you to Jackson Dart. You don't need a quarterback. James Pierce Jr. was drafted after that by the Tennessee Titans. I'm sorry, by the Atlanta Falcons. He's an edge. You don't need that, right? You can argue that the kid out of Ohio State and Josh Connerly Jr., the D lineman out of the D line, interior defensive lineman out of Oregon and
Harmon.
What's that?
Harmon.
Out of Georgia. Oh, did I say it wrong?
No, Harmon. His last name. Harmon, the kid from Ohio, from Oregon, the defensive tackle. I just said his last name. The kid from Oregon, the D tackle, and then you said Connerly Jr., the tackle.
The point is there's nobody that went after 25 that as a fan you were like, I gotta go get this guy. Yeah. Everybody that when you move down, everybody that's been drafted since the 25th draft pick hit, they're not guys that we were gonna draft anyway, unless you thought, I'm sorry, yeah, he's an offensive tackle. My eyes are terrible, man. I'm going blind. But the D tackle that was taken is really the only one that you
unless one of the tackles, because they were also linked to Simmons, who went to the Chiefs, Connerly Jr., I think, who went to the Commanders.
Yes. I'm not messed up that they didn't go take a tackle. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm okay with them not taking a tackle. I'm just, as you see it, the trade down has had zero impact on the draft so far. There was no wide receivers taken after the fact. There's no guards or centers taken after the fact. There's no running backs that came off the board after the fact. Hell, there's not the fastest player. I guess Maxwell was on there. Other than him, the fastest player was a damn safety and a defensive end. So yeah, I think it's much to do about very, very little at best that the Texans moved up out of the first round.
Yeah, the back behind them, no, it's just to be like ahead of them, right? Like, it got like when Banks went and Booker went, it was just like, all right, what are they about to do? Like, to me, it was like, I'm thinking they are going to go get the kid from North Dakota State. Like, they're going to go get if they or whatever tackle they wanted. But in my mind, I was thinking they're going to go get that kid. Yeah,
they would have had to give up a boatload of draft capital
to get to 18.
Even to get to 18, to move up seven spots, they would have had to. And somebody else has got the upper hand because they got the higher pick. They'd had to get not that they. I mean, I'd have been cool with it, but that would have been that's a ballsy move. At that point in time, let's hit a few things. Because one of my favorite things, Ron, with the draft is the non-draft pick takeaways.
No.
Nothing to do with the draft picks. Can somebody tell me who Lil Wayne is a fan of? Or better yet,
he's a Packers fan, and he can't.
He's a New Orleans fan because he's from New Orleans. He's a Packers fan for damn sure.
I think he just claims Packers like as his primary, though.
Well, he was over there with, and then later on, he's over there at who was he claiming? I saw a video on social media him over there doing one of the calls for somebody else,
doing his best LeBron impression.
I mean, he's just bouncing all over the map,
LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You mean Drake?
And Drake. No, LeBron's been to like several different colleges with shirts like Drake, too.
That's all right.
I know it hurts you, but it's all right, man.
It doesn't hurt me.
Lil Wayne got to pick one.
I thought he was a Packers fan.
Well, they damn sure. I mean, they claimed it last night. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
I've been where he has been. He couldn't ride that bike.
They asked Lil Wayne to ride that bike out there, and he couldn't get it, huh? I saw him walking.
He was walking it. Yeah,
I thought he was going to walk.
Everybody else rode them bikes up there. Lil Wayne was standing with it between his legs, walked out.
Did you
know? That's all right. I understand, man. I've been there.
All right. Am I the only one that realized the one dude in the blue suit that just kept getting up and hugging every prospect that was drafted?
Yeah, it was Harrison, the kid from Kentucky.
I'm going, who is this guy?
And then the other guy in the green suit from Texas A&M who had 4 sacks in 6 years.
Jamar.
Yeah, they were at the entry just hyped up. I mean,
Maxwell was that guy. He was nervous about not getting, even though he was there. So he was going to give everybody else some love to make it be supportive. I couldn't figure out who he was until he got drafted, right? And the next one is oh boy, you talked about, and this is the dads. The dads are always great. Not that I wouldn't be a proud dad, but old buddy that got drafted had 4.5 sacks. That's just a freak of nature. I mean, he is obviously just a freak of nature.
He looked good in that green.
His dad was absolutely, I mean, he was phenomenal. Warned the league. I think he's the one that warned the league about him after having 4.5 sacks in a college career. Warned the league. And then, Jihad Campbell, the Eagles traded up from 32 to 31 to get him, the linebacker. He's cold-blooded now, by the way. I mean, the Eagles just keep stacking. But his daddy thought it'd be good to warn everybody as well. Can't believe you made him wait this late, man.
Pissed.
He's mad. He's serious as hell. The dads are great when it turns into the whole, man, the journey we've been on. We've been working to get for this day.
Right? Abdul Carter said his dad he's been building me up since I was little.
Yeah,
my man was the guy I believe the Texans wanted. Booker. First off, he was clean as hell.
Yeah,
I don't know, that was like a chocolate top with the
he was excited
cream
as hell,
pants,
that's for sure.
And he came through flying, man. He was clean as hell.
He showed his athletic ability as he was running down that damn hallway, jumping around left to right.
Why they put that man in that green with that pinstripe? Why Will Campbell slide out there in that green and then pinstripe? And Sean Pendergast, if you're listening, you a dirty dog right there, man.
What'd he do?
You talk about, man, that guy's got the oddest shape I've ever seen in my life. Everybody talks about his short arms, but that odd shape he has. He's got a weird top that meets a weird bottom.
We're talking about one of the best offensive linemen in the country, and he's built weird.
Everybody talk about his arms. Look about that weird body that he's got. But he had that pinstripe on. Tyler Booker Booker was cold, was clean,
and,
man.
And I'm going to tell you, last but not least, did the NFL get you on the announcement?
Which one?
When they kicked down to Laura and what's the girl's name with the big head?
Colleen. Damn, man.
Hey, she looks like a real life bobblehead.
I had a fight with her trying to get an interview with Charles O'Minihue one time.
I mean, I've been around Laura, and Laura's skinny, and that girl looks like, I mean, she, I bet in real life, I bet that, I mean, she is so small, and that head is.
Like Tyler?
Big old head. Yeah, one of Tyler Milner heads. But
Guilty.
They got me. The NFL got me on that. When they started talking about, hey, we got a special announcement, big announcement. Man, we're going to go to the stage, Laura and Colleen are going, special announcement. Man, I leaned up on the couch and leaned in like we were fixing to get something.
Got you a good tease.
NFL scheduled release day is May 14th or 16th or whatever.
Oh, you don't even know the date? You didn't get it?
I don't care.
It's the 14th or the 16th. What you mean, man? We're gonna dive all into that.
Well, we can look at
that schedule come out.
Yeah, when the second week of May rolls around, we'll check it out and figure out if it's the 14th or the 16th. But I'm leaned in thinking, man, they're fixing to announce something big time.
Yeah.
Schedule release. Official NFL, NFL wide, every game will be released on the 14th or 16th. God, dude, I leaned in for nothing.
Well, you talked about all the guys that look clean in the outfits that got drafted. Well, there's one very major person that did not get drafted, and it's becoming the story of the draft right now, and we'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Where art thou?
Live from Blue Water Seafood off 290 and 1960, it's the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit, supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Budweiser. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. We are live back at it here at Blue Water Seafood. And listen, we're at one of their many locations. They've got three locations. We're here at the one up Highway 290. You can go to the one in Cypress. You can go to the one in Spring. Champions, the original one, they have been in business serving this great city for almost 30 years. So they've got everything you need, including buy four, get one free crawfish today. They have that special each and every Tuesday. They're doing that right now, along with Happy Hour, from 2 to 6 while we are here as well. So make sure you come and take advantage of that. It's a great spot. Great spot, indoor, outdoor, a little bit of that breeze coming through, and we're having a good time out here as we usually do. So come check it out. Any location, you can go and have yourself a good time. Clint, Listen, we watched the Shedeur Sanders thing kind of shake out. We talked about it yesterday. It's been the number one thing in the draft from a national perspective. I guess from you, how you saw it, I don't think you weren't shocked, were you?
No.
I think it started building to that, right?
Well, the only one that would have shocked me was Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward was the only lock, not necessarily to go one, but to be a top five pick. It wouldn't shock me one bit for the other guys to fall completely out of the first round. They damn near did. New York jumps back in and takes Jackson Dart. And you're talking about just two different styles of player. The newer age style that moves around a lot more and can get downhill in a run game and is a little bit more of a gunslinger. And that was put on display in his college film. Not to mention his college coach and the Giants coach have a good relationship, having crossed paths with in college football, their history with Alabama. And so, they jump back. New York jumps back up into the first round. They trade with the Texans, and it's either Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders. They go Jackson Dart. That didn't surprise me either. Not today. Now, based off what I saw 2 years ago, I'm shocked like hell that kid jumped up and was drafted in the first round. But based off what, the film that we've watched over the last couple of years, it's no surprise that Jackson Dart is getting the love that he's getting.
Yeah. I don't think the way it was trending. I mean, if you'd have told me a month ago or 2 weeks ago that Shedeur would completely drop out of the first round, I would have been shocked. It was trending towards that way. It just has been a month, at least a month worth of time of why he shouldn't be taken. And many of his issues. For you, though, as you watch it, I mean, maybe you didn't, in 713-572-4610, you can jump in on this YouTube and Twitch. Is there any lesson like that you took from this with the Shedeur situation? Because it's odd to have a player as the season ends and, like I'd say, at the combine, be looked at as at the very least, a top 10 pick at the quarterback position. And then completely drop out. Is there? Because to me that seems unusual. I don't know that I've seen that that far out. But anything that you looked at this and just caught was just like maybe a lesson to be learned.
Well, I mean, I think the media hype behind Colorado, Deion Sanders, and ultimately Shedeur Sanders drove a lot of it. I think once teams and people start digging into what the film looks like and whether that film showcases something that transitions to the NFL or not, I think, look, here's the deal, is I don't think it's a big deal that he slipped in the second round. He may end up benefiting from it, right? I think he's a first round quarterback. I thought the Giants were going to take him. I believe that if Shedeur Sanders, and this is not a knock on the journey that he took, but if Shedeur Sanders would have went to out of the gate, went to a Power 5 school and had a career there where he had a lot more of a supporting cast where he could win at that level and play at a high level, I believe he would have been a top 10 pick. I think the fact that, he went to a smaller school initially, people are going to knock that and say the level of competition, especially when you got Travis Hunter out there doing his thing, 5-star. And then he goes to Colorado where, it's a cool story to get him to 500. It's a cool story to get him to a bowl game, but at the end of the day, he's running for his life the whole damn season, the whole time he was there, getting the hell beat out of him. They're really, and he's not an athletic quarterback where his athleticism is going to jump off the film the more he's pressured. And so, I just wonder how good and how high he would have been drafted had he taken a different route than what he did.
Yeah,
which is all for none. I mean, that's just where my mind goes to it. Man, because I think he is a first round quarterback, and had he gone and had he been able to play at one of these teams where the quarterback is just set up for uber success, I wonder how the story would have been written.
Yeah, I want to say, I think the majority of the reason, I still think the majority of the reason of why he ultimately didn't go in the first round is because I think teams think there's a ceiling to his play. I think that is still the majority of the reason. I think though what I've learned from this is the off the field stuff was weighed a lot heavier to me in this than I've seen in other cases, right? Like I think if he had, you know, Lamar's legs, I think ultimately people would just somebody would say to hell with it. We'll deal with Deion and we'll deal with him being cocky. So that's why I said I think. I still think the majority of the reason, whether it's 50-60%, is because, you know, there's a thought of a ceiling. But I do think if whatever the perceived off the field distractions were there, I think he would have been picked, you know, in the first round. I just think we saw that weighed more,
Ron,
than we've seen in other cases.
Here's at the end of the day, we can talk about it six ways to Sunday. Shedeur Sanders' talent is he's not gifted enough to overcome no superpower, right? No obvious superpower in his game. He's not good enough to overcome playing at a school and having a 500 record and having, you know, a lot of quick game on his film. He doesn't have the athletic ability you talked about with Lamar, the arm you're talking about with Josh Allen. He doesn't have that ability to overcome all the other stuff. Now, if he would have had a like some of these quarterbacks that come out of Georgia where they've got two losses, they're 30-2 when they get done, or 25-2 when they get done, I think he's a top 10 pick. At that point, you can overlook, well, hey, man, look, with good stuff going around, this kid can make all the throws, he's got great touch, he's got great anticipation, but you don't know that stuff because the film you see, he's not given the opportunity to do it. So at the end of the day, he's not talented enough to overcome the other things. And that's why he slid into the second round.
Yeah, I think we're in a kind of the same thought. Like I just that's just my thing. It did seem like that because it was. I will agree. This maybe other people feel different. This did not feel. This felt different in how he was being talked about the last month. I remember seeing people talk about Andrew Luck towards the end and talk about some of his faults. I can remember with different guys, people, CJ, the test that he took. I can remember those things. This for a month felt different to me.
It's been unorthodox. It's been weird. Now the question now moving forward is what happens between, does he go before Jalen Milroe? Does he go before the Shuck kid out of Louisville? Boy, that to me, that's when you start going, boy, there's really something wrong here.
Yeah. For the text line, lessons, keep your mouth shut. To me, I think that's stupid. I think you should be able to be yourself. And I understand that you know, there are some people that are able to do it at some positions or whatever to be yourself. Like, keep your mouth shut. No, I'll keep my mouth shut. I mean, he can be who he can be, and that shouldn't be the lesson. Now, I think that may be it. Maybe that is part of it. But I don't think that should be the lesson. As I see some people tucking in, I'm so glad he didn't get picked because I'm not a fan. Like, to me, like, yeah, the celebration of it is weird to me, too. Not surprising. I mean, there's some people going to have their feels of it. Like, to have seen that and watched him sit in there, like, and to be celebratory of it, like, that's weird.
Yeah, that's a bit aggressive. But like, again, the talent isn't all of it, the whole package, right? I mean, whether we like it or not, the if you're talented enough, you can get away with all that stuff, and none of it matters. None of it really, a lot of it wouldn't even be mentioned at the end of the day.
And I think that's what I said. I think I still think the majority of it is his talent wasn't big enough to overcome that. But I do believe he had to overcome more off the field stuff than we even, especially if it didn't have anything, no arrest or anything like that.
Right.
I think he had overcome that.
Yeah. Right. Well, I like him more than others do, but it doesn't shock me, Ron, because this is in the NFL today, it is the guy that runs all around the field and makes these sidearm throws and all this other jive, they're going to get the attention. They're going to get the guy that has that weird off platform, off schedule way of making plays, and he's not convincing in that light. I think if he goes to the right place, again, as I said yesterday, pocket passer, I think he's going to win somebody some games.
Text line, lesson learned, don't be cocky. Come on, man. Clint Sterner, you think he wasn't cocky?
Mm-mm. Never.
You think Clint went out there talking?
I tell you all the time, I'm good at my job.
You think Tom Brady ain't cocky? You think Lamar ain't cocky? You think Patrick Mahomes ain't cocky? Every one of these dudes worth a damn are cocky. Now, maybe they show it differently. And one day, just like we've seen things evolve, one day, just like before, you know, you couldn't be Clint's height and be drafted in the first round. When Clint played football, he needed to be 2 inches taller to be drafted in the first round. There's one point where you couldn't run to be drafted in the first round. Now Kyler Murray can be the first pick. Baker can be the first pick. Lamar can work. And at some point, you'll be allowed to be confident and cocky. All right, coming up as we continue live here on The Drive, what does the first round say to you about where the Texans are right now as a team? What does the first round say to you where they are right now? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from Blue Water Seafood off 290 and 1960, it's the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit, supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Bud Light. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's crazy, man. And this is why he has been the number one story. As I'm looking, Tyler, I don't know if you see YouTube and Twitch and the text line, but, I mean, he elicits an emotion and reaction from either side. Like,
they're polarizing, and that's you know, whether you're talking about Deion or you're talking about Colorado or you're talking about Shador. I mean, Travis Hunter found a way, and I think it's one because he's so talented it doesn't matter. But you know, he doesn't seem to be the flashier one of the bunch. He doesn't seem to be obviously not going to get the attention that the quarterback gets, no matter how good he is. And so that part's never going to change. It's every year, man. The flashier, the more, and I'm not saying this negatively as a lot of people say, but the more look at me that people are, and the more different people are, like they're all this wearing the gold watches on the sideline and showing it to the fans and everything. It's fun. It's a good time. It's entertaining to watch. But unfortunately, you got 32 different groups of dudes that are going to get in that room and pick everybody apart as much as they can. And that is, a lot of times that kind of stuff is going to be frowned upon and twist and turned and made it more than it really is. And he's having to deal with it. There's no doubt about it. It's polarizing, man.
No, it is.
Either love it or hate it.
Yeah, and I think in 5-10 years, that kind of stuff, just like we've seen other stuff go by, that kind of stuff won't be looked at because – The 32 guys that you're talking about are going to be different guys in that room.
Well, the other part of it, college football is going to be different,
and it's
right?
It's going to be different, yep.
You look at what – if we're just looking at what Deion and Colorado is doing right now, they're changing the landscape of college football. I mean, these coaches that don't – look at Belichick. I mean, Belichick's got a 20-some-odd-year-old girlfriend that's in miniskirts and boots walking on the field during a spring game, and this jackleg wouldn't let his players carry an iPhone in the locker room.
You dirty dog, Bill.
Well, I'm just telling you, that's the reality of it is. Like, college football has changed. Deion's made it to a way of, like, your value is going to have a ceiling, a low ceiling, unless you open the doors to everybody and not just say y'all come in, but do things that's going to draw more people in. It's not just about winning and losing. He's proven that you can be a 500 football team over 2 years in a below average conference, and if you do it the right way, your value will go through the roof. He's proven that, and so I'm an Arkansas Razorback fan, and I would say that I would like to think that we're slightly above Colorado in the sense of where lowly Colorado was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 1-11.
But yes, Mom, I know that. I'm not saying we're not, but we're a middle of the pack school that I think we need things like that to attract players and bring more attention and raise value and make more money for NIL and things like. And I'm wondering why the hell not quite. I mean, I don't need all of it that Deion's doing, but at the same time, you look at it and you go, why are we not doing some of these things to help draw attention, to create value, to generate NIL funds and things of that nature? That he's changing the game, and when you're the tip of the spear of something like that, everybody's not going to fall in love with
it. I tell you what, I don't think Deion slept well last night, and I
agree.
And I'll say not just because his kid was hurting. But I also think, I think in his mind, he probably, and I think there's some truth to it, I think he probably believes I had a part to play in why teams potentially wanted to stay away from him.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think Deion's wrong for it, right? I mean, Deion is, you know, being himself, and you know, like, Deion is not going to be the first parent that we have seen that is a helicopter parent. He's not going to be the first former player that we've seen, right? Like, Eli didn't come up with not going to San Diego on his own. Archie came up with it. But I do think he looks at it and thinks it's because a little bit of this is because of me that some teams don't want to deal with my son. And I got to believe that's your kid's dream. And that I bet you that probably really hurts.
I think you hit the nail on the head when it comes to that. I've heard it mentioned, but I hadn't heard it leaned into the way you did a couple of days ago. I wholeheartedly think that Deion Sanders being so outspoken about, you know, how things were going to be handled and how he was going to make sure things were going to be handled. And I don't have all the quotes.
No, he has said things like, hey, I'm going to make sure my son goes to the right place, and if he doesn't, I'm going to step in.
Correct. And that in itself would be, if I were a general manager somewhere, if I was a head of scouting somewhere, if I was a head coach somewhere, I would need to look into that. I would need to have a conversation. And so that would move me in a direction of wait, let me double back on this real quick. So
he's thinking of, I've been in this league. I know what it's like to get stuck with the Browns. Yeah. I know what it's like to get stuck with the wrong organization, and I don't want my son to have to deal with that. And if I got some kind of power, I'm going to do it. But I do think he's not a fool. I think Deion sees this as this was towards me.
Sure,
this was towards me, not as much towards my son. And I got to believe as a father, even if you didn't do that on purpose, that's got to. Yeah. Well, that's got to hit you.
I think it's probably backfired a bit. I think all the chatter.
Him get to this. Like, I think it shined a lot of light on him in Colorado.
Well, look, I've said it, we've talked about it a million times. Like, it's hard in this moment to realize, like, holy cow, man, you, like, whatever caused it, man, you could have went to a team in the first round of the, and it's 30-some-odd million dollars kind of deal. He slid out of the first round. He's not going to be committed. He's going to be committed to a school, an organization for one fewer years. The team's going to have one less year control over him, which is great. And there's a chance that he's going to go somewhere that's already got a quarterback that can then sit for a couple of years, learn the game, and when he gets his shot, he's a better player and he's surrounded by more talent. It will, assuming that he doesn't get picked by one of the teams that could have got him earlier.
Yeah.
You know, the quarterback needy teams. It could end up being an absolute beautiful setup for him.
Tyler, we hadn't heard from you as the fan here, as the resident psycho fan, psycho T in the building. Tyler, how did you feel about last night's draft? Because Tyler, you went, did your work, I'm sure. You cut the podcast up, and then you got in your car and you drove on down downtown, and you got in there, probably ran into some rain, and you got out there and you went to the draft party, and maybe you bought some shirts. I don't know if you did. And then they got in there and they didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
How did you feel about last night's move?
Didn't buy any shirts, first of all. Didn't, not purposefully. It just, time kind of got away from me, and I got tired, so I went home. But that event was awesome, first of all. Shout out to the McNairs for flipping that bill. I drank a few Modellos. I felt fine with it, to be honest with you. When it happened, when we see it flash up on that big screen at the Texans draft party, you know, Caserio had traded that 25th pick. I mean, it's kind of like a little bit of a inner groan because, you know, we'd just been waiting and anticipating that moment. Like, oh, man, there it goes. All right, well, see y'all later. Good night. But no, I'm good with it. I feel like at this point, there's enough of a sample size. I'm not saying blind trust Nick Caserio, but until we see how it completely unfolds with the picks he got back, I gotta trust in Nick a little bit.
So you and Clint, I mean, felt better about this than I would have. Tyler, I could see Tyler, all right, taking a deep breath. All right, let's see what Nick does. I didn't think you at all were going to be with the. Hey man, let's trade back.
I was trying to calm Larry and Stafford's ass down.
Oh, I bet Larry.
Well, look, I'm gonna tell you. If you were hell bent on one of two things, if you were hell bent, which I thought it was going to happen, but I wasn't hell bent on it. If you were hell bent on the Texans moving up in the draft, or if you were hell bent on the Texans taking a wide receiver, you were hot. And let me add number three. And you went to that draft party. You were hot. Right now. I mean, so I understand where Larry would be mad because I know he was a wide receiver. I would imagine with the trade that happened before the draft, he thought that they were going to try to move up in the first round.
And that Marcus Golden was so close.
And he's right there. Home, and he's a Houston guy, too, not just a guy that Larry liked. He's actually a Houston guy. Oh, boy, that really. And then, you know, being at that party and doing all that, even if it's just driving up there, and even if you're having a good time, you look up and you're like, wait, what the hell happened? We always got to go home, right?
So,
yeah, I would imagine that there's a lot of people that are hot for that. But, I mean, if you're a Texans fan, by now you could have simmered down a little bit and realized, like I said earlier, nobody was drafted after you that you were hell-bent on the Texans picking anyway. And now they're sitting pretty in the second round. So, we'll see what they do.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we get going here, a little 5 o'clock fire. Again, if you're in the building and you have not filled out your name and put it in our raffle box, we have two more opportunities to win a $25 gift card to Academy Sports. We're going to do that as soon as I get done with this segment. And we have one more opportunity to win in the 5 o'clock hour. We will be doing that. Next, a little 5 o'clock fire. We'll get you ready as the Astros are going to a beautiful, beautiful city to take on the Kansas City Royals. Also, we'll get towards day two of the draft. We'll look at the big things that we need to look forward to as well, and an update, a major update in the Rockets-Warriors series. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.